Hello and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters. Day 154. End of another week. I do believe it's week 22. But don't trust me. I barely know it's Sunday. How is everyone doing? Ooh, Kim's fixing dinner. What are you having? Let me know. Hello, Paul. Hello, Jonathan. CQ, Deb, CQ. We went ahead and purchased everything to go with the premium. Yay! Ready for next week. Build with me. We'll think about the mobile version for build with me. Work brilliantly. It will. What a productive day. Good grief. Jonathan, it's Sunday. Day of rest, you know. The mother of all clear outs continued. Wow. Three massive bags. Jonathan, where have you got the room to store the three massive bags? Wow. I don't think you're a hoarder. I don't believe it, Jonathan. Your OCD would kick in way before that. Some clothes which have gone into the charity bin. Wow, I'm impressed. We could do with doing that here. Were you inspired by Paul getting ready to sell a house? Because that's like real motivation, isn't it? God, people see it. We did that, actually. In terms of getting rid of rubbish, we did. When they were building the extension. Because what we had prior to that was like a little, it was a big conservatory. You don't tend to have those abroad, do they? Conservatories. It's sort of like a sunroom, but we in Britain have gone crazy with them in terms of the size. And when we moved in here, it really was like something stuck onto the side of the house. But now people knock walls down to build into their conservatories. Ours wasn't. It was completely separate. And it had a washing machine in it, a dryer, a dishwasher, all the associated stuff that was involved with getting those things done. There was all sorts in there, honestly. And, you know, they'd been in and they'd seen it and they knew that what they were dealing with. And it got to the weekend. They were coming on the Monday to start work on it. They'd done all the measurements and stuff, but they were starting work on it on the Monday. And we stood there on the Saturday morning and it was like, we're not going to be able to do this. We both had a total meltdown. Somehow, by some miracle, on the Sunday night, it was totally empty. Couldn't move the rest of the house, but the conservatory was empty. Oh, Paul thinks he's a hoarder now. Based on the amount of stuff that's been gotten rid of. The thing is, in this day and age, you do need a lot of stuff. I remember when I got my first tape recorder. My mum had one and she let me use hers. But then I got to about 10, I think, 9 or 10. Probably got it for my 10th birthday. And I got this tape recorder. You know, and it wasn't even like a Walkman, which I call walk person, by the way. I know, it's just a thing. Anyway, it wasn't like that. It was a proper tape recorder. It did have a handle on it. And I got some rechargeable batteries for it. And Mum said, I'll get you a case for you to put your tapes in. She didn't like stuff lying about the house, didn't Mum? I'll tell you about the plasticine one day. So she got me these batteries. She got me, and I only had two cassette tapes. She bought me a box that held 32. And as I got to about 4, this box would like lean if I didn't put one in each corner. And I remember looking at it thinking, I'll never get to 32. I wish you could see how many cassette tapes are still in the house now. We actually built a cupboard for them that was in my what's now the studio, but used to be my office when I was a kid. And this shelf took like two cassette tapes, one in front of the other. And then it was probably about 6'6" long and about 6'6" tall. So you can imagine how many tapes were in it. Why am I keeping them? I've no idea. They need to go. You're quite right. Paul, we are worse than you, I guarantee it. You've got stuff you brought from your old place over 5 years ago. Just put it into the cupboards and never looked at it. That's the problem. That's the thing. And then you think, oh, I'm sure I've got one of those, but I don't know where, so I'll buy another one. And I guarantee by the time it turns up, You know what I'm saying? It turns out you find the first one, and then you probably buy 10 more of that. Even cleaned under the sink. Oh, wow. Oh, Jonathan, they do. They do turn funny. They're lethal cleaning products. Mike got one and it smelt really nice. It was a bathroom cleaner, Mr. Muscle bathroom cleaner. And the thing with it was, you know, it smelt all right. When we got it in the flat, he nearly had a funny turn. It smelt lovely, but it was like toxic. So he couldn't breathe. Smelt nice, but it really got into his lungs. So he had to forget that. Oh, dear. Paul's got over 23 years of stuff. When did we move him? 79. Oh, dear. That's scary, isn't it? Coming up to, 79, 41 years ago. There's places I don't even look. I swear that. I'll bet there's kids' clothes in the loft of mine, knowing my mother. Too good to throw away. The fact that you're now like 5'9". At the time, I'm 5'10" now. So at the time, I was probably about 5'9", age 12. And she's like, I'm going to keep these clothes. But Mum, they're for an 8-year-old. They're too good to throw away. That was her favourite line. They're too good to throw away. Oh. You've not got more to do. Good grief, Jonathan. Sort out the sock drawer and under the bed. We cheated under the bed a while ago. We got one of those beds with drawers. It was actually, what's it called? It's a Hemnes. A Hemnes day bed it was. And it stretched out into being a double bed. Or you could push it in, it would be a single bed. So we put the stuff in the drawers. Don't do that. The drawers now don't open. 3 huge drawers as well. It'd be great for storage, but it's very difficult for something to be dual purpose, and it didn't end well with that, I think. Oh, maybe you'll inspire me, Jonathan, and maybe I'll get round to shifting some of our rubbish. I swear I've got cables for like RS-232 ports. Who's old enough to remember those? They are older than you, Jonathan, by some considerable amount. I guarantee it. But never throw a cable away, you might need it. No, seriously, I don't. If we've got something and it's broken, so I mean really, really broken, badly broken, and it's going to the tip. So something like we had an old fire, an electric fire, and I wouldn't have trusted this fire. Plus the fact it cost a fortune to run and it didn't actually warm the place that much. So we switched and we got rid of these electric things and we got we replaced them with oil filled radiator type things, and they're fantastic. They're great. We love those. So as this old fire was leaving the house, I said to Mike, cut the cable off. And he said, what do you mean cut the cable off? I said, just cut the cable off. This cable was really thick. So he's like, what do you want to keep the cable for? Now, my mum always used to take the plugs off things before she threw them away, because sometimes you're one screw short of a plug or you need a fuse or something. But these things are welded in. They're all melded together at the bottom. So I said, you can't reuse the plug. I said, I'm not looking to reuse the plug. You can cut the plug off as well. I just want the cable. It's like, why do you want to be... Mike, just stop asking questions. Just do it. So we did. So there's a box in our little understairs cupboard that has defunct cables in it. So literally, they are bare cables at both ends. So this box had sat there for a while, and then something happened. I'm trying to remember what on earth it was. It could have been a light or a socket or something. And it was like, needless to say, just as the shop shut Christmas Eve. And this thing went. And I had a look at it and I said to Mike, well, it obviously needs... I said, I can fix it. Oh, I know what it was. It was a light fitting. So it was Christmas Eve, because they didn't leave till Christmas Eve. And there's me up a ladder installing this light fitting. I must show you a photo of it. It's massive. It's like the size of the studio. But we liked it. So I'm trying to put this thing up and I realised the cable wasn't long enough. So the actual cable that had been installed when they rewired the house wasn't long enough. So I said, well, all you need to do is give me that cable from the fire and I'll MacGyver it. And at that point, Mike realised why I keep cables like that. not to actually use as cables, but for patching materials and things. Very, very important. So I can't possibly get rid of that. But going under the bed, that's just dangerous. Oh, an iMac G5 and an iMac that need to be recycled. Oh, no. I have all my iMacs. It's a wonder we can actually move in the house. Some of them haven't been used in ages, but you just don't want to, do you? You just don't want to part with it. I'm going to have to face facts and do that. And what's worse, I've got all of the boxes that they all came in as well. Scary beans, isn't it? Right, let me carry on. Mr. Muscle. Mr. Muscle is a brand. It turned to custard. Mr. Muscle is a brand in the UK, and it's one of those that you would remember because the adverts are like a really weedy guy who's trying to clean his bathroom. And then this like superhero flies in all dressed up and it says Mr. Muscle. And he says to this, you know, skinny guy, here you go, use Mr. Muscle. And then obviously it all gets clean. So it's kind of, it's not quite at the point that you'd say, give me the Mr. Muscle when you mean a generic cleaner, but not far off. And it is probably the most popular. Oh, I love your mum and dad, Jonathan. Oh, the nest's emptying nicely. Let's get rid of all this rubbish. I wonder what it is. It could be your baby book. Oh. No, Paul, it's never safe to look at certain places. So they're the ones I tend to avoid. You do need more now than you used to, though. I swear you do. I mean, I guess it's because for us, it's not just a home. It's our workplace as well. So we do need two of everything and three of most stuff. But I think even if it's a house, I mean, can you imagine if Nina's telly went? Oh, she manages to watch so much, she must watch it all at 10 times. I swear she must. She would be a basket case. But, you know, she's all right because she wouldn't need to keep a spare TV in for a situation like that. She'd just ping me. And I'd say, yeah, sure, take it away. I won't notice. Keep it as long as you like. But it is things that if it broke, it would be a catastrophe. That's why I keep my old iPhones. If the one I've got decided to commit harry-carry, which on occasions it has done, you know, I do have another one that I can take the SIM out and put it in. Because I know, gone are the days, I can just rock up at the Apple store and say, can you fix this? They've done it in 5 minutes. You know, that's a day's work gone for me. If I have to go into the Trafford Centre to have a phone repaired, in fact, I don't even bother anymore. It's like, it's worth my while to keep my last iPhone just as a spare. So it has a SIM in it and it has a number. And if it's like somebody wants to ring me, but I don't particularly want them to have my number, then they get that one. But it would mean I could take that SIM out and put the SIM out of my iPhone in it and then just send it back for repair. Because at least if I send it back for repair, I don't have to hang about and wait all day. They will come and pick it up. They will come and bring it back. And it doesn't cost any more. So I would probably do that. But obviously that means I'm without a phone for at least a week for the turnaround. So I know we certainly didn't do this when I was a child, but we do tend to buy in pairs now, don't we? Mm. Like when I'm buying a drive, never buy one drive on its own. Not even if it's on offer and you can only buy one. I just buy one on Mike's account then, and then we've got twins. Which has happened a lot, hasn't it?
It has.
We might have an unboxing next week, mightn't we? Thinking what's coming tomorrow that we got two of. Excitement. We'll see. We'll see if it arrives. Let's have a look. Do we have garage sales? Yeah, it's car boot sales we call it, isn't it, Jonathan? I've always thought a garage sale, is that... I don't think it's directly comparable to a car boot sale.
Sounds like garage music.
Are garage sales where you are at home and you put all the stuff you're trying to lose in the garage, then people walk up to your house with it?
There's a lady round the corner by the roundabout who's doing a car boot sale from her front garden every week for, is it Stockdale's?
Yeah,
charity.
It's a charity.
Yeah,
it's on Grosvenor Road, though.
Yeah,
that's unusual, though, and probably at the moment it would be because of the COVID situation.
Yeah, charity shops are shut.
A car boot sale in the UK, you actually—it's like a market. You actually go to it. So it's more of a people. You would get more people going, Mike and I actually did one once with some stuff we had. So you pitch up at a location, you pay a certain amount of money, probably about £10, to drive your car in there, and then you open your boot, people get out little tables and then boxes of stuff, and they put it down, and it can be genuine, what I would say is like car boot stuff or garage sales, in terms of things from your house that you're trying to sell. But also people who are in business turn up. So people could turn up and, you know, if their business, if they have a shop, and they are, let's say, a hairdresser, you could even turn up at a car boot and then sell hair products. Not actually sit and do people's hair, but sell hair products from the car boot. They don't distinguish between like, oh, well, you're a business and you're not. It's just, it's usually a farmer with a field or a school with a huge car park. And they do it to raise funds, because obviously if they can get 50 cars there at £10, that's good income for them. And it costs them virtually nothing to put it on. So that's the kind of thing that we actually have here. Mum used to love doing that. She was lethal with them, because she'd find things. She said her taste was older. She didn't like the kind of modern stuff. So she'd go to a car boot. And I remember, I think it was her 25th wedding anniversary. Her mum bought her, so my gran bought her a set, a dining set, and it had poppies on it. She loved poppies. And it was all the rage at the time of her 25th wedding anniversary. So she got this set. And a few years later, Gran always insisted when she came, she wanted to do the washing up. It was just a thing with her. At Christmas, it'd be, I want to wash up. The thing was, if you let her loose in the kitchen, I guarantee you, you'd end up with more broken than you had unbroken. She meant well, but, you know, she was very bad on her legs because she had arthritis from being 38. So we just wanted her to rest. But she felt it was like, no, I've got to do that. That's the thing that I need to do. Oh, she would break glasses, all sorts. Anyway, she broke one of these plates. And Mum was like, that was my set and now I'm one missing. So we headed off to car boot sales. And she loved them because she managed to find, like, not a full set at the car boot sale that matched. Obviously, they were selling it because they'd had a problem as well. And there was like only four plates instead of six. But for Mum, that was one to replace the broken one and three spares. She was in her element. That's probably all the stuff I'll find in the loft and garage, isn't it, Jonathan? Right, let me catch up. You've done home moves from the Midwest to California and overseas and then back again. That would freak me out. I would like to think, Deb, that I could do that, because a lot of the paperwork and stuff that you have, you know, you could scan it now and it's all digital and in the cloud and it doesn't matter. But then when I look at what's like in my filing cabinet, it's things like birth certificates, death certificates, my degree from London, my degree certificate from Oxford. I can scan them, but that's not the point. You really need to keep them. So there is a certain degree of paperwork. And then, of course, there's all the paperwork that is there to be handled. You know, your to be handled pile, that isn't handled at all in any way, shape or form. So there's all of those to think about. So that if I was told, you know, you could move to Australia in a mansion, I'd be like, yeah, can you give me 5 years notice and I'll tidy up. You've got your old laptop cables. Oh, lap link. Oh, they're the blast from the past. Blue lap link cables. I had a couple of those. Oh, Anthony, that's brought back memories. Jonathan found hundreds of cables. Now I just need to remember to check the drawer before I order off Amazon. I'm exactly the same, Jonathan. Trust me. For when we used to go away, in February when we went to Alverston, I got myself a bag. Now, I am not short of bags. I could have a car boot sale myself just with bags. But I got this particular bag because it was lime green. There was no missing it. Normally, I buy black. It doesn't matter if there's a grey one, a brown one, a blue one or a pink one. I'm buying the black one. But I deliberately bought this lime green one and put like the critical cables in it. And that way I could say to Mike, sling me that green bag, rather than sling me the bag with the cables in it and then it kicks off because there's 27 bags and he doesn't know which one I mean. And I'm like, well, can't you read my mind? Seriously, that's one of our set arguments. That pass me the bag with the cables in. Which one's that? Well, can't you read my mind? No, I can't. And then we're off. So I got a lime green one. I don't think I've opened it since Alfriston, but it's hiding under a whole range of Amazon boxes at the moment. But obviously, now I've got my snazzy new vlogging camera, I can get on with the unboxings. So I fished this green thing out and I opened it and I thought, oh, there's all the cables I've been looking for the last 4 months. I have a solution for this, Jonathan. You might be interested. Right, let's try this. What if, and it doesn't really matter how you do this, you could do it in Notion, you could do it in Dev and Think, doesn't really matter. How about we had a table that had in it the locations? So I've got in this room, one day you'll have to see this, won't you? Let me count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I thought there was 11. Hang on. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I have 11. I have 11 Helmer drawers from IKEA. Each one of them has 6 drawers in it. Ergo, I have 66 drawers in this room. And there still isn't enough room. I'm going to take Jonathan as inspiration and delve into some of these drawers at some point. But obviously, 66 of them. They were actually bought for two purposes. One, to put stuff in. But two, to use the top of it for other stuff. So I've added like racks where I put things that are on charge. And what else is on it? A laptop stood on one. I've got drive stood on another. So, yeah, that. But, you know, why don't I organise the cables? I'm bad. I am really, really bad. I probably do have that laplink cable somewhere, but I'll bet you I have no idea where. I could hazard a vague guess. I reckon it's probably in the garage with my old cables, like my parallel printer cables. Why am I keeping them? I really don't know. I could have saved myself an absolute fortune as well, Jonathan. But hey, never mind. Cables do break. They do, as I know. Ooh, Kim's used her new stamps when doing the financing. All thanks to the power system. Fabulous. That's fabulous, Kim. I must admit, I'm looking at my system. Obviously, the bottleneck on mine is that the scanner is on this old laptop. It's come a bit of a cropper. Which I'll explain at some point. But at the moment, I did do a little bit of scanning yesterday and it felt so good to actually think that's scanned, it's in the system, I can find it. I actually scan straight into Dev and Think, and this was something that I haven't done before. Not the scanning into Dev and Think, the next bit, which was I'd done a lot of scanning. So the scanning was actually done, that wasn't an issue. But I'd scanned it with all default names and I'd always intended to go back and type in the names properly. But I suddenly had a brainwave and I thought I could do with at least all the finance stuff together. So I did a search for NatWest, which is my bank. And because it was OCR'd, everything came back irrespective of where it was. And I'm like, oh my, that's good. Then I had another thought, which was, what if I had a smart rule for filing the statements? And I thought, that's, you know, not bad, good, but no T-shirt. Because all I ended up with, if you know, I did a search for NatWest, is a folder that's full of all sorts. So there's half a dozen credit cards and there's bank statements for different accounts. And I thought it'd be brilliant if there was a subfolder for each account. And then I thought, hang on, smart rule. So I set up a smart rule that searched for NatWest and an account number and then automatically filed those in that accounts folder. And it actually worked. Oh, wow. I would still take the time and go through and name them, but it's far easier when they're all in a folder that you know. You know, that's just your personal account, that's your business account, that's your credit card account. They are basically pre-sorted. They do need to have been OCR'd for that to work. But then, oh, it's going to be amazing when I finished it. Notice the when I finished it there. And the stamps, of course, mean that I then know that something is actually scanned. You need to look at those stamps. I'm actually looking at another one because obviously I wear mine out. Something chronic. They're actually quite expensive in the UK at the moment. I don't know why there's any need for a stamp like that to be like £14. Probably because Staples have gone bust. And the one that took over from Staples, which was Office something.
World One.
No. No, Office World went bust as well. They weren't related, were they? Or did they take them over? Office Depot. Yeah, they went to the wall as well. So now there's nowhere to buy a stamp from. They're quite expensive. But well worth it. Totally well worth it. I've actually got quite a few. I've got the scanned one, which means it's scanned. So that would be for something like a bank statement. But then I have one that says for shredding. So I would stamp something as for shredding. That means more than it's scanned. It's scanned bank statements go into a bank statement folder for 6 years. But for shredding means it's already scanned, so it would probably have a scan stamp on it as well. Then I'd go through and then separate everything out into two piles. The scanned stuff that's for just slinging in a folder somewhere and the stuff that's actually to be shredded. So I've got those two. And I've also got three others that I've had for years and years. Confidential, file and copy. And those were the ones I actually used until I found these scanned and for shredding ones. I do have two stamps. One goes back quite a long way. But I've also got this other one. And this one, actually, it's tiny. It's from a company called Colour. It's tiny-ish and it's got the date on it. But next to the date, it's got words. So I'm trying to see what some of the words are. I'm going to need 14 pairs of glasses to read this. It's that tiny. Let's have a look. Emailed, cancelled, delivered, credit, faxed. You see how old it is. Paid, received, shipped. Problem with it is you don't think when you buy it. I think it finished in 2018. So the stamp's fine. But the dates are too old. So I need one of those as well. And they are so expensive. It's amazing, though. We still do get enough paper. It's actually worth your while doing that. Right, let me carry on here. Ooh. And plus the fact there's that nice feeling of just stamping something, isn't there, Kim? All right, let's have a look at the one that Kim got. I found one. I think it's about £12.99 that I'm looking at. Only looking at the moment. Oh, no, you see, that's rather cool. That is rather cool. They're all separate, aren't they? Oh, you don't have a for shredding one in there. That's quite surprising. But paid's good, isn't it? Emailed, received. Confidential, I probably wouldn't use. But the others are good, aren't they? I'd like a for shredding one. And there's no price on that at the moment because it's not in stock. But they look cheaper. Oh, hang on. There we go. What's that one? See, you're, apart from the fact that I would have to pay twice that for post and packing. £13.99 and you're getting 8 stamps. Over here, it's £13.99 for one stamp. It's criminal. Criminal. But a set's probably the best idea. Oh, that's a similar one to the one we have here. The one that's in a row. But that says correct return. Amazing. It looks like it's for schools. Homework. Stuff like that. From what I've seen of the people, you know, on YouTube, the ones doing the... not bullet journaling, the other things, the happy planning things. They all seem to be teachers. And they all seem to like sticking stickers in books. To a degree that's unhealthy if you're over 5. So some of these stamps, they would go down really, really well.
Last time I stuck stickers in books was...
Your vouchers for United tickets.
No, I wasn't counting that.
Oh, weren't you?
I wasn't thinking about that.
Go on.
Panini.
Oh yes, panini stickers.
And I don't mean the Italian bread.
No, but you know that's understandable. The rest not so understandable. Oh, Deb's just too good, isn't she? Look, always cleaning computer files out as well. I just buy another drive.
Panini stickers are still going.
Of course they are. Of course they are. Kids like stuff like
that.
But
there's lots of other things.
Hello, Tracy. Going. How are you doing? You pay for it, you're like being encouraged to clear out first. Oh, a yard sale as well as a garage sale.
I've heard that garage phrase. Sale.
Yeah, I have heard yard sales. But then you call beautiful gardens yards in the States. Now, we do have a concept of like the backyard in the UK, but it means just that. It means, tends to be a terraced house, so a row of houses, very, very tiny, to be honest. And then behind them, they have a yard. And that yard usually is paved over. But a yard in the UK is not a garden. You would never say to somebody who had like a garden, you know, grass, chairs, area, flowers, stuff like that, you would never call that a yard. That would be a garden. Just a UK thing, isn't it?
It is.
We need to get a picture of somebody's backyard. My gran had a backyard.
Takes me back to something my dad used to say when he was a kid in Liverpool at school. When he wanted to go to the toilet. Hey, miss, can I go across the yard?
Yeah, because the toilet was across the yard, literally.
Playground, as we'd call it.
Yeah. I was a schoolyard back then, though,
school
wasn't
yard,
it?
Schoolyard, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What we did with my gran, because she had a dog, she loved this dog, spoilt it absolutely rotten, and then got another dog after that, but that was a rescue. And she, there was no way she could walk this dog, so luckily the second dog, people walked the dog for her in her area, because she was about 8 to 10 miles away from us, and Mum didn't drive, and Dad was at work. But when I went, oh, I would take the dog out, couldn't get the dog out fast enough. The dog was like, oh, please, no, not again. But she said it would be easier. The dog didn't like to do its business in the yard. It wanted grass. So Dad said, well, we can take that little bit in the corner and we'll put some grass down. So we looked at this bit and it looked quite small, honestly. It looked about, you know, 4 foot square. And we looked at it and said, yeah, it won't take much grass, that. We'll go and get some turf. We came back with it and it covered like 2 square foot. And I went, we're going to need considerably more turf here, Dad. It ended up costing an absolute fortune. I guess the area was way bigger than it looked to us. To us, I would say, you know, quite small. But when you look at it and it's like, oh, well, actually, maybe it's like 8 foot square, in which case we're going to need a lot more turf. But we turfed it over. She was probably one of the very few who had a yard that actually had grass in it at a certain point. They also used to have in people's yards, as well as the outdoor toilet, at Gran's house, they had something extra. Don't know if you ever had this. A bomb shelter.
You know, Mum and Dad's house,
mm-hmm.
right at the bottom corner of the garden, I don't know if you remember it.
I do.
It was...
near the gate your father painted?
No, right at the far end of the garden.
Right, go on.
It was basically a brick building, which we stored the lawnmowers and wheelbarrow and stuff in. But we used to call it the bomb shelter. So I guess it must have been, because
yeah,
house was built pre-war.
There were two types of bomb shelter. There was, I mean, why you'd be safer outside in like a tiny brick building than you would be in your house, I've no idea. But there was one that was literally, didn't even have a door. It was brick and it had a roof. And it would probably take, you know, probably 7 or 8 people stood up. But other than that, it was bare.
Yeah, that's what this was.
But there was another type. We didn't have one in our garden where we lived. But the house 2 doors up did. And the kids used to play in it. And this one must have cost a fortune. I mean, the house that we lived in, it was quite a big house. The one that I was born in, it was quite a big house. And in its day, I mean, I don't know when it would have been built. Early 1900s, maybe. But they were really big houses. So in their day, they would have been like to the level you might have a servant in there. So the 1 2 doors up, they must have had a lot of money. And when they had their bomb shelter built, they actually buried it in the garden. So this one, to me, was a proper bomb shelter.
Yeah, like a nuclear bunker.
Yeah. You went down some steps to it. There was a proper door on it. You went in. And when you went in, you were literally underneath the garden. So a direct hit, you know, and you wouldn't have stood a chance.
We had the economy version.
We didn't have one at all. If it had taken a direct hit, you would have stood no chance. But, you know, if it was like debris flying, you'd have been fine because you were basically like a mole living underneath your own garden. Crazy stuff. That one even had electric in it. So that really was ahead of its time. But yeah, yard has a very specific meaning. Let's have a look. Oh, right. Let me see this other link from Jonathan. Because I'm woefully behind in the chat here. Too busy yakking. Right, let's have a look. Best year ever, 2020. Do you know, I'm actually warming to 2020. Just think, Jonathan, without 2020, there would be no Marooned, would there? So 2020's not all bad. Obviously, all the deaths and COVID, yeah, not great. I guess we could have done Marooned before, couldn't we? Only we wouldn't have been Marooned. We'd have been all these Catoonian dues. But yeah, I wonder, and they're still selling that at $14.99. No accounting for taste, is there? It's a good one, that. Oh, you put a poppy in the newsletter and thought of me. Oh, thank you, Kim. I must admit, poppy's just, it's my mum's big thing. You should see how many poppy mugs we've got in the kitchen. She found this set, a newer set than the other one she had. Actually, that poppy set where there was a broken plate was orange. She liked it anyway. It was quite dated, but by probably, well, I think it's just a style that everybody would have known. It was that popular, but she loved it. But it got dated and she decided, you know, it's a bit dated. So I said, but Dunelm do poppies, Mum. Oh, that was a big mistake. She then had me put in 6 shelves in the kitchen to put these poppy mugs on. There were three. One was more orangey, but they were like proper cups. Then there was some really tall, narrow things that they would say are like, and not particularly teacups, like just tall and narrow. You'd probably put something like maybe a latte in it. I don't know because I don't drink coffee. And the other one was like a breakfast mug. That's huge. That's the one I have my tea in when I have tea once a week. That's huge. And she said, oh, well, I need a set of them. And I said, how many's in a set, Mum? And it could have been like 6 or 10 or 12. I have lost count. I have no idea down there how many there are. but there's 6 shelves and they're virtually all full. People say when they walk in, why have you got so many mugs? Because my mother liked them and I'm not redesigning the kitchen anytime soon. What else would I do with 50-odd mugs but leave them in the kitchen? And anyway, if I was ever insane enough to have an open house, I've got plenty of mugs. But I like looking at them. They remind me of Mum. So there you go. I would love to see your newsletter, Kim, with all the things that you learnt deployed in it. February to November are going to be useless. Jonathan! December, second wave, just saying. Even the government are saying there's a second wave. Mind you, you know the stats we used to get on a daily basis? And you were like, you could judge, like, take the temperature of the entire country based on the stats. I notice for the past 5 days, the stats are over 1,000 a day. And yesterday, 1,500. Today, about 1,200. And no one's saying a thing. I actually had to go off and find the stats. So if the second wave is starting now, can you imagine it by Christmas? The company lost your kids' medical records. Oh, wow. The school wanted them vaccinated again and I said no. Oh, that's terrible. An exemption with cause. When they were older, they did update their shots. It's getting that way here, actually. I know there is talk about not allowing unvaccinated children into the school. Now, some have an exemption for cause. I think I had one of those, something that I was allergic to or something. Let me think. But we didn't need certificates and that. You literally just said, well, this is the situation. But now it's like all with paperwork. Because some children do have contraindications to particular inoculations. So when all that thing broke out about autism and the anti-vax movement started, Mum said to me, I'm so glad, you know, that you had yours separate. Now you can have them separate. You don't need the MMR, but, oh, it's MMR, isn't it? Yeah. the MMR, which is measles, mumps and rubella. You don't need to have that one. They will give you a certificate if you have them separate. But taking them separate, you have to pay, whereas the MMR is free. So people would rather say I'm not inoculating at all rather than actually pay to have them separate. But one of the ones, I think we had about four, and one of them, the doctor that I was with at the time, he was a doctor. He knew one end of a leg from the other, unlike every other doctor I've ever set eyes on, apart from Pete, obviously. He said, don't have that one. Leave it till she's whatever age. It's too dangerous at this age, given she's allergic to penicillin. But a lot of doctors are just like, yeah, reel them in, inject, move on. And they're not checking. And then that, what happens from that? Anti-vax movement happens from that. They did a poll the other day and asked people, and we're not talking children now, we're talking adults. If there was a vaccine for COVID today, would you have it? 50% said no. I'm assuming they are not the 50% who are being wise and staying at home either. They're the 50% out roaming. But 50% wouldn't have it anyway. So there you go. That's terrible. Trying to give, I mean, I have seen that with dogs and cats, Deb, where you've not got a vaccination certificate and their answer is to just revaccinate. But surely that's dangerous. You can have too much, surely, in a very short time. So if you take your dog abroad, we had like a European pet passport. But if you lose that paperwork, or they won't accept that paperwork, then before the dog is allowed out of the country, it's got to be vaccinated again, which to me is too much of a risk. If I've got perfect paperwork, but, you know, my French isn't, I can hold my own, but I wouldn't fancy having a debate about, you know, the legality of your paperwork on the way back. The only way you're going to get back is to revaccinate the dog, which seems overkill to me. Maya took very, very, very bad after he had one of his inoculations. I think he was about 9, and it was one of like his annual things. For 3 to 4 weeks, he was just moping, and that wasn't him. Sat staring at the wall, and he'd like lean against the wall and then slither down it. He was in a right state. And I said to Mike, I'm never doing that again. And we never inoculated him after that. It was just too much of a risk. I mean, he perked up in the end, but I can't see him like that for 4 weeks. And there was a thing saying that, you know, it can be overdone. And it made me wonder whether they'd misweighed him or something. But he never had any more, and he was as fit as a fiddle. 66 draws. Yes, Jonathan. It's a good title for the show, that. I'm liking that. They've got cables in. They've got my pens in. They've got, what else have they got in? I've got a drawer with stuff that I've scanned. I've got a drawer with stuff waiting to be scanned. Some of them have got Bluetooth speakers in. Mainly cables, if I'm honest. Like when I buy drives, the drives will be replacing drives that have died, or replacing drives that I kind of take out of rotation. So I don't actually need the power supplies for them. So I've got two drawers full of power supplies. But if you remember the Lassie crisis, where the drives were fine, but the power supplies weren't, you can never have too many power supplies. That hence me having two drawers of them. Mike has 3 of those drawers for his stuff. I have the other 63. Yeah, 66 drawers. That's a brilliant title. I'm liking that, Jonathan. 2 years ago, Anthony cleaned out. Let's have a look. I am woefully behind with this. Oh, and that's the other thing I do. I've not seen this yet, Anthony. Let me have a look. I'm looking. Oh, dear. I do have a photo similar to that. But you know how it happens. Because you put your cables in and they're all neat and tidy. And then you go back and you're like, what happened? Yeah, that. It's because when a cable dies on me, and it would be like probably a USB cable, maybe a lightning cable. If I can't get it out without a load of grief, I just gently drop it over the back. I put a red tag around it and I drop it over the back. And then I'm like, the next time I do move the entire desk, which will be like after I'm dead, hopefully, I'll know that that's a red one and that's broken and just take it out. But you can't just grab a cable and pull, can you? That's the problem. And they do just not into a right old state. That's a classic. I'll dig mine out, Anthony. I'll make a note. It was when we changed the cupboard. Macbyte's cupboard cables. Yeah, we ripped the old cupboard out, and before we put the new one in, obviously we had all the cables behind it, and I looked and I nearly cried. You know, it's like, this was going to be a 2-hour job. Like 3 days later, still sorting the cables out. I love that one. What's the smart rule? The smart rule, Kim, is when you create a rule that's like a search. So it's like a search. You tell it what files to operate on. So files called, files with NatWest in the title, or files that are Word files. So you basically create a criteria that tells it which files to operate on. Now, that sounds very much like a search, and it is. The syntax is exactly the same as a search. And then underneath that, there's an area where you tell it what to do with them. And one of the things you could do is move it to a particular location. I demonstrated it. I can't remember now which file did I do it with. Could have been screenshots I did it with or something else. But I did demo it. I think it was in part 3. And you asked me where you could get to that again. And a couple of minutes later, I said, there's the smart rule at the bottom. And it's in the sidebar on the left-hand side. So a smart rule is a set of instructions that specify a criteria upon which to apply the actions that you specify in the rule. I will be demonstrating that next week in the asset management. So don't worry about it. That will be coming back. But yeah, that is your friend when it comes to particularly filing from scanners. See, now you see, I'm catching up, Anthony, now. They were a lot of stuff I didn't even have anymore. That's me. But they are tagged red. So I, you know, can't say fairer than that, can I? They are tagged red. Let's have a look at that. Oh, no, see, that's lovely. That's lovely. I just put the desk on top of the gables. Problem solved. I did try using trunking, but it was a nightmare, so I left that alone. Oh, I've got one of the drawers, Jonathan, Firewire 400 and 800. And I thought, you know, I've got drives, Firewire 400 and 800 drives that I now have to use USB 2 on because I haven't got a Mac that's alive that I can plug in anything Firewire. Oh, so yes, one of the drawers is full of those. Oh, that's bad. The grocery store gives stickers to little kids at the checkout. We used to get one at the dentist, Kim, and it said, I've been brave at the dentist today. But I didn't get one, which is obscene given the amount of money I was spending. Definitely wanted one. Oh, thank you for that, Anthony, putting in the link to the yards. Yards really are very, very special. Yards. Right, I'm going to have a link there. Hello, Debbie. I'm catching up. Hello, Debbie. Today you've got 29 states with an R less than 1. Our R, they are saying, oh, it's between 0.8 and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, but what? Sorry, what? Do you mean over 1? And yes, they do. And Manchester hasn't moved in the last 2 weeks. So, Jonathan, we're still in lockdown. No chance of escaping anytime soon. So if you're thinking of a diary, 5-year one might be a better idea. Just saying. Oh, no cold water. Oh, wow. It's gorgeous here now. We've got the window open. There's a breeze. There's no fans on. It's fabulous. And it does make such a difference to my mood. I am not good when I am hot. And, you know, when you think about Mike doing a webinar, he's got to do that in the studio because obviously I'm in the office and there's noise. You can't open the window. And it's quadruple double glazed, if you're with me, quadruple glazed. So normally, I don't know if you have double glazing in the States. Double glazing is where you've got two panes of glass in a sealed unit. And it helps with the temperature, supposedly. And it helps with noise. So because that was our studio, instead of having it double glazed, I had it quad glazed, which means there are 4 pieces of glass in a sealed unit. So it's like an oven. It is literally like an oven. And I wouldn't recommend you try and open the window because it's not been opened in at least 15 years. So don't touch the window. I don't think you could actually get to the window, to be honest. So nice and cool is how we need it. Adults need booster shots for their childhood vaccines. Not heard that, Deb. Not certainly not offered here. And you're having blackouts. Wow, this isn't good, is it? I could use a new camera to get a snapshot of the current mess under the desk. Oh, Paul, it would be bad. Do you know what I do that's even worse than just putting cables under the desk? I wire them into boxes. You're wondering, aren't you? When you've got something like USB that you want to plug drives into and stuff, and I've got my ITV thing as well, I've got these boxes from IKEA and they have handles on that have got like metal rims on where you would pick them up, right and left. Which means that there's a handle at the front and a handle at the back if you put them in sideways. So I pass the cables through the handle at the back, and then that gives me the actual active stuff in a box. So instead of me crawling under the desk, I leave enough wiggle room that I can just reach my hand down and pull the box forward and then do whatever I need to do in the box. I have been known to have like 8 backup drives secreted in these boxes. Before today, the power supplies for them are outside of the box. So this slot at the back, there's literally a rat's nest of cables coming into it, but only the stuff in the box. You've got the USB hub and just the stuff that you're actually plugging in. And that does actually work really, really nice. I will probably use the new camera to go around the office and the studio at some point. But you know, like Jonathan's just said, in terms of decluttering, yeah, could do with a bit of that. It might take about a year, but it'll get there. I think actually, Paul, it would be easier to move house. I think you're doing it the easier way, which sounds bizarre, but trust me, it's true. I've still got some of Mum's stuff in the house. I dealt with quite a bit of it, but there was a few items that were like, because she passed so suddenly, I'm like, I can't deal with that one right now. And we certainly don't need all the crockery that she had, but, you know, I know how important it was to her. So it's like, just leave it. We'll stick with the 2 plates that we use on a repeated basis. And there's Mum's 914 plates. Let's just leave those alone. But I know I'm going to need to get onto it at some point. But not now. Oh, fabulous. It's raining as well. Oh, I am a happy bunny. I thought it had gone cool. Good job Lola got back before it started actually throwing it down. Is it raining where you are, Jonathan? I know you're only 8 miles away. Is it raining? I've got a video camera with Firewire. Yeah, and it was so good. You used to plug it in and you could control the camera from, I think it was iMovie and Final Cut, and it was fabulous. We don't have that anymore. Oh dear, oh dear. Mum had them day before yesterday, so you are getting blackouts. This is shocking. I hope you've got everything. Have you got little power blocks and stuff? That's another thing that's in one of the drawers, Jonathan. 2 drawers full of power bricks. All charged on and drained on a regular basis, just in case there's a power cut. I'm the type that fills the bath with water at the first sign of trouble as well. Do you know that actually happened once? That happened. I don't know if this happens in the States. I'm guessing you're far more sane than we are. But how the water board, who are the people with the water, would let you know that there was a problem with the water supply is they'd send a car round with like a bullhorn on the top, a speaker on the top, and say, "Water's off, water's off." Honestly, it sounds so primitive. Now they don't do that. Now you have to register a phone number with them, like, yeah, that's going to happen, not. And they do an automated call and say, you know, this is the water board and the water's off. One particular day, I think you were at work, because I remember ringing and saying there's a crisis. Get some bottled water on the way home. Mike said, we've got plenty of bottled water. I said, no. I said, we've got no water. I said, I'm not ringing you to ask you to buy bottled water. I said, I'm ringing to tell you we have no water. Sale, Altrincham, you name it, for about 15 miles around us, nobody has any water. I said, now you are in Macclesfield. I said, where there is no water supply problem. I said, so you will be able to buy some bottled water, but don't think of coming back to Sale and buying bottled water, because it's like Armageddon out there. There's not a bottle of water to be had. So I said, we need it to flush the toilet. We need it for cooking. So I said, just fill the car with bottled water and bring it. And if we've got too much, then we can sell it on. But even then, I actually thought the water pressure's really low. And it's looking like a dodgy colour. And I thought, they've not said anything. So I checked online, no problem. I thought, I don't believe it. Don't like the colour of the water. I wouldn't be drinking it, putting it like that. This is why I don't drink our water. Full stop. So I went in the bathroom and I filled the bath and I filled the basin and I filled every pan I could find. I get back up to the website. The website page had been updated. The water's off. I thought, no SH, one T, Sherlock. Pretty much twigged that, but I twigged it faster than they did. So we used the rather brown looking water to flush the toilet and kept the bottled for food, drink and other things. Can you imagine now if the water went off though, Jonathan? What would we do? We certainly wouldn't be hand washing, would we? The water went off around here now, there would be a riot, I fear. We're in the middle of so much, it's a riot. Oh, Anthony's old video camera's the same. It was such a good system. I think it's a shame. I know they're trying to consolidate everything down to a USB-C or Thunderbolt, whatever you want to call it. But it's a shame because it was such a good system. I loved it. That was when I was probably 2006 to about 2010. And it was great to just sling the camera on the desk, plug a cable in and you're good to go. And we don't really have that anymore. You've got to take the card out and start piffling around. Oh, Kim, I'm glad we're not alone filling the bathtub. You still have a landline with an answering machine and it's the number you give out. Caller ID shows up on the TV as the cable company provides the TV service. That's a brilliant idea. But you don't usually answer it. When this happened, and the only reason I know about the automated calls is the fact that my mum had her phone line and it was a BT line, so it wasn't included with TV services and all of that. But that was the number that the water board must have had, and that was the number they called. So I picked up the phone thinking, who wants mum now? Because it was within about 2 months of her dying, and we hadn't got around to dealing with the phones and everything. And I picked it up and listened, and I thought, how do they know to... And then I thought, oh, she's probably given them the number. But we don't have a landline phone anymore. And they certainly haven't got my number. So... what can I do? We don't bother anymore. I think I'd know if I turned the tap on that we had no water and I'd leave it at that and then I'd be online. Great series of videos using smart reels with Hazel. Yeah, you could do it that way, but to be honest, you can do it inside DevonThink. And the beauty of doing it inside DevonThink is that the rules are inside the database. The database is being backed up. And following Friday, the database is being synchronised and thus so are the rules. So you'd never have to fiddle around with them for a second time. So I put them inside there. But I have used Hazel for specific things. When I was doing a manual sync, I did it with Hazel. But I've moved on from that system now. But I will show it to you on Friday. It will definitely be there on Friday. So do you all know what's happening tonight? We've got a hard out at 8 tonight because somebody needs to get the dinner on the table and watch the Euro semi-final. He's a bit nervous, his poor Mike, at the moment. It was the semi-final. Was that last Tuesday? He was nervous last Tuesday, but once they got through to the semi, he's been a bundle of nerves all day. City got knocked out last night. They're the big rivals in town. So it's up to United to fly the flag now in Europe. And tonight's the big night. So he is nervous. Spare him a thought while the game's going on, which is starting in a couple of minutes. Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you. And the rain's biblical. We usually get it after you. The weather tends to come down from you. So that's good news. I'm quite happy with biblical rain because if I get cold, I'll put a jumper on. But I can't do much other than walk round stark naked, which nobody would want, trust me, if it's too hot. In fact, that wouldn't have done any good at all. That'd just make it worse. So I'm quite happy with it biblically raining. Totally happy. No problems at all. I do believe I'm getting the call right now. They're all wishing you well for your football team, Mike.
Thank you.
I've said you're a little bit on the nervous side. He's haired off again. He's haired off to get the rest of it. Thank you, Kim. I will pass all of that on and we will be back with you tomorrow. Same time, same place. For more marooned at MacBite's headquarters. But for the moment, I'm going to say goodnight from me, and he's not here, but goodnight from Mike, and we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.